Here on Chasm Radio. We've got to head on over to AMPI, where Farm Director Joe Gill is broadcasting live. Joe, it's all yours.
Brad, what's your best guess?
There must be some kind of a great event happening.
And June is?
Dairy Month!
There you go. You get a passing grade. June is Dairy Month. We are at AMPI today, and yes, indeed, a full hour of talking dairy, talking AMPI here on Chasm Radio. Just a reminder, normally AgriTalk can be heard at this time. We'll have it at 2:06 because we are live and local at AMPI here on Chasm Radio. Matt Quay joining us with AMPI, the divisional manager here at AMPI at the Painesville location. Matt, thanks for joining us. Thanks for inviting us out. June Dairy Month is always an exciting time, not only for dairy farmers, but for AMPI as well.
Yes, that is correct. And thank you for coming. We appreciate you having us, having you come here and spending the time with us here at Painesville. Appreciate it very much.
Talk about this location in Painesville. Give us a background for those who maybe are unfamiliar about AMPI. What all goes on here in Painesville?
Okay, Joe. Here at Painesville, we run about 2.5 million pounds of milk a day here, 7 days a week. The plant never shuts down. We run every single day of the year, including all the holidays. We make 100% cheddar cheese at this facility, and we package that cheese into 510-pound octagon barrels. The cheese is then sent to La Portage, Wisconsin for further processing, where they'll take our barrels and they'll make a slice on slice, or they'll make 5-pound loaf out of those barrels. We also, the byproduct made from making cheese is liquid whey. And at this facility here at Painesville, we run that whey through membrane technology, and we separate the protein from the lactose. We have a protein dryer here at Painesville, and we dry either 34% protein or 80% protein. We have customers that take both products. The 80% protein, we dry it and package it into 55-pound bags. The 34% protein, we package it into 55-pound bags or 2,000-pound totes. And we've got several customers throughout the United States that take our products. And the 80% can be used for high-energy sports drinks, high-energy candy bars. The 34% can go into bakeries, confectionery like candy bars, etc. So that's what we do here. We've been making condensed dried protein now for about 8 years, and before that we did condensed whey products. But it's been a very good thing for the plant, and it's been a good market for the Painesville division and the dairy farmers.
You talk about this plant, it's almost like Grand Central Station when you're outside seeing the trucks come in. Just the coordination that goes on, it's almost a symphony of sorts to get everything to work in a manner that's effective and efficient.
Exactly. On any given day, we receive about 55 to 60 truckloads of milk. And again, that's 7 days a week, and that's 24 hours a day. Milk receiving is open, and they come across the scale. They'll go into milk receiving, we'll do an antibiotic check on the load, and then once it's cleared, it goes into one of our silos. On the cheese end of our business, we'll ship about 42 to 45 truckloads of finished cheese per week. And on the protein side, we'll make about 7 to 8 truckloads of dry protein. And then the permeate, which is the byproduct of making that, is about 35 truckloads of permeate we'll ship out per week. So there's a lot of truck activity out there.
You mentioned cheese, Matt. I almost look at it compared to the pork version of bacon. Cheese is that to dairy. I mean, it's really great to be involved in making cheese, and there's such a demand for cheese as well.
Absolutely. Cheese is what AMPI does best, and AMPI makes a lot of cheese. Here at this plant, we'll make approximately 80 to 85 million pounds of cheese annually.
Cheese, and you mentioned cheese, it's award-winning cheese too. You guys seem to win awards each and every year, right, Matt?
That is correct. Our Sanborn division, Jim Falls divisions, they have done exceptionally well at cheese contests over the years, and it's very good, very good product.
Matt Quay joining us, our broadcast from AMPI, June Dairy Month. And Matt, I can't let you go without talking what's happening here at the plant. You have exciting expansion going on. You have some new vats that are going to be installed. Give us just a summary of this project.
Okay. Yes. This division is going to do a major expansion. We're due for October 15th to be down for 7 days. On the 8th day, we're going to be making cheese, and we're going to install 7 brand new cheese vats. These new cheese vats are going to hold 60,000 pounds of milk, but we do pre-concentrate the milk prior to cheese making, so there's going to be approximately 75,000 pounds worth of milk in each cheese vat. And that's going to increase our capacity by about 800,000 pounds of milk processed here per day. And of course, with that expansion, we also have to expand the whey division, putting in more UF systems for separating the components in the whey, again, the protein and lactose, more reverse osmosis systems to remove the water prior to the evaporation process. So it's a complete plant expansion, including other equipment like fine savers. Whey separators is also part of the project, so we're really super excited about this project. We can't wait. And we've been in the process of planning this now for since January. We've placed purchase orders with our different vendors, and here real soon they're going to start showing up on site to do some installation of the things that they can do prior to the shutdown. So it's exciting times here at Painesville. We're super excited about this project.
It's just head-scratching to get this all done in 8 days. I can barely get my groceries and get the kids to where they want to be in 8 days, and you guys are putting in all these vats. You're pushing this milk to other locations to make sure, you know, obviously you can't stop milking cows for 8 days, so there's a lot that's going on behind the scenes as well.
You're absolutely right. There's a lot of planning that has to be done for this. You're right. Moving the milk is a huge thing, and in that eight-day time frame, a lot of the milk will go to our sister plants within AMPI. And other processors locally will help us out a little bit here and there when they can. But it is a process. There's no doubt about it.
Matt, finally, too, a project like this, I think, is great for the farmer listening, solidifying the future of AMPI and have this expansion and knowing that down the line, hey, we're ready to continue and be strong when it comes to taking their milk.
Absolutely. We are building this addition for the future, for the future growth, and for the dairy farmers of the Midwest and Central Minnesota, for their home, for their milk. Absolutely.
Matt Quaid joining us here on CASM Radio, our June Dairy Month broadcast here this morning on CASM Radio. We got a busy hour coming up. We'll talk to Kevin Rausch with AMPI Field Supervisor, Steve Schlungen, AMPI Chairman of the Board, and Sarah Schmidt, AMPI VP of Public Affairs. All coming up in this edition. We're coming up on 10:15. We'll take our first break. We'll be back. We'll have a market update at 10:30 as well. Let's take our first break. We'll be back here at AMPI in Painesville celebrating June Dairy Month here on CASM Radio.
It's that time. The annual St. Martin Parish Festival is
during June Dairy Month. And we head back out to AMPI with Farm Director Joe Gill.
All right, Brad, thank you very much. Back here at AMPI, our June Dairy Month broadcast this morning here on CASM Radio. As you spoke to Matt Quaid, now we go to Kevin Rausch joining us, AMPI Field Supervisor here in Painesville. Now, Matt, we were kind of doing the math. He's been around here for a few years, and I think you're involved in that group too there, Mr. Rausch.
Yes, I am. I've been here a little bit longer than Matt, but not a whole lot. I've been here, I'm going on almost 34 years now, so been a while.
Last couple times I've seen you here, you've had a headset on like a traffic controller here. I bet your day is pretty busy coordinating, talking to folks. It's never a dull moment.
Yes, it is. I mean, I'm dealing constantly with milk callers, also patrons that are calling in with issues and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's days get pretty busy.
I think you cannot undervalue what that position is and that job is between you and the producer out there. It's a valuable relationship to have that good communication and be on the same page.
Yes, it is. The service part of our company is we really concentrate on that because it's such an important tool. Prices, milk prices and stuff are very important to companies and to dairy farmers, obviously, but service is right up there with it, and we do the best we can with that. We want to provide the best service that we can do for these people. So.
Now, when it comes to being in a field, are you a team of one, or are there more on this team that's out there, out and about? Or?
Okay, I'm the field service supervisor here out of just the Painesville division, but I got 4 field rep staffs that work under me, and we cover quite a territory. We go, actually, our territory of our procurement area goes from, like, the Canadian border down to Highway 212, which is down southern part of Minnesota, and then we cover all of North Dakota, and then also from east to west, from Wisconsin to the Dakotas. So we have quite a large area. So
I was going to say, there's a lot of miles on your car, or you got a few other people in those locations too. So
yeah, both. It's both. Yeah, the guys. We've really, our farm numbers are down and so on, but so our territories keep getting bigger because we have less field staff than if I had. 10 years ago, you know, we've had about probably 8 or 9 field staff that working up here. Now we're down to 4. So it's been a change.
Kevin, our farmers understand the importance of it. For those who are maybe not on the farm, why is it so important to have this field connection, have somebody out there? What are they doing when they're talking to farmers? What gap are they bridging? What's the purpose there for maybe some of our non-folks from on the farm?
We do work with the quality of the milk, but overall the quality of the milk has gotten really good. The dairy producers have just gotten really, really good at what they're doing out there. So that part of the job has really gotten a little less because we have a lot less trouble with milk quality. It's gotten so good. But our field staff are really trained in to work more with the markets now, deal with the farmers on what's going on within the industry and more of that side of the fence. We had to shift gears a little bit on that. And that's the service we just to keep the farmers in tune to what's going on in the industry. So
broadcasting here at AMPI, June Dairy Month, and you mentioned that connection, you mentioned the producers. As far as from when you started to today, how has things changed? Has technology playing a role in your position in how to relay information, how to process information? How does that play a role?
Oh boy, has it ever changed. I know when I started going back 30 years ago, you know, we didn't even have cell phones. I mean, we had to go to a phone booth or a phone somewhere out in the country to make a call in once a day to find out if there were any messages for us to do and stuff like that. And now today's world, we got the internet, we got the cell phones, there's text messaging, there's emails. Heck, we're live. The dairy farmers have their milk qualities sent to them on a daily basis through the internet. It's just remarkable on technology on how that's improved. So it's been quite a change.
Kevin, I know Matt alluded to just, you know, the amount of trucks that come in here too and the amount of staff and what goes down as soon as that truck, you know, puts it in park and what goes on from that process on. There's some testing, a little bit of this and that goes on. There's a lot that goes on when the trucks pull in.
Yes, there is. When the truck comes into the intake, what they actually do is the first thing they do is the people at the receiving station have to pull a sample out and test the load for antibiotics. That's number one. Every load that comes into this plant is tested for antibiotics before it gets unloaded. So it is to make sure that the milk is safe, which it really is. So that's the first thing. And then they have to obviously get the hoses and stuff hooked up to unload the trucks. And then we have all personnel in the intake that do that for the drivers and help them with that. So, and it's doing that and getting the trucks back out of here at a timely fashion, get another load of milk to bring back in again.
I think a lot of folks don't understand the continuation of thing, the continuousness of things aren't 8 to 5 or Monday through Friday. It doesn't work that way.
No. Actually, our receiving station over is open 24/7 now, so we have trucks coming in all hours of the day. I mean, they're constantly coming through. And like Matt said, when you got 50 loads of milk a day to bring in, it's a lot of milk that has to run through. So yeah, and the intake is open 24/7. So
Kevin, when it comes down to, we can talk cheese, we can talk dairy products, but it comes down to the producers and the families and the work they do and the activities they're involved in. I know they get involved a little bit with AMPI too as a group and kind of build a little rapport between each other too, the folks.
Yeah, we do. We do have a really nice program. It's called the Young Cooperatives Program, which is really good for AMPI. And we just had our company YC program was in Blair, Wisconsin, which they had a whole group of young people be able to tour the Blair plant to see how that works for it. It was a really good deal, good turnout. And locally right now, we're going to have our YC little doings here right out of Painesville. We're going to be taking our YC group of guys down to the Rocks baseball game here on the 29th, I think, of June. So we do have a tight group with that, and it's very good for them, and they love it. It's a good thing.
You know, and a good thing like that, a side effect is, yeah, you meet maybe another couple, another family that's doing the same thing you're doing. You can bounce ideas away, but also I think they learn a little more about the co-op necessarily to that, you know, the inner workings and items, they really get informed.
Yeah, absolutely they do, and that's what it's all about, is to teach the younger generation how the co-ops actually work and what it all involves them to do, or what their involvement should be in with the company. And AMPI is very grass-rooted co-op. We still are controlled and run by the dairy farmer, so, and it's really important to our younger generations that are coming in the future to understand and know how the co-op works, and the YC is a good part of that, so yeah.
Broadcasting here at AMPI this morning, Kevin Roush joining us here on CASM Radio. We'll take a look at markets coming up in a few minutes, and I'm guessing another side effect, my favorite kind of phrase with that, is you see some future leaders come out of this program as well, Kevin.
Yes, we sure do. Yes, that is the thing, you know, there's the ones that are really involved with that, there's good chances that they get on our boards and stuff like that, which is really good. And those are the kind of people that we need, because they play a very important part of this company. So,
and I think as we get generation to generation, you know, I had one person say, well, geez, I remember my dad saying, I milk cows for 874 straight milkings, never took a vacation. I think we're in a different mindset where it's okay to step away for 24 hours. It's okay to have a social hour. It's okay to do things like that, too.
Yes, absolutely, because it is. It's a new generation. It's a new group of people coming in here, and the loyalty is still there, but everybody needs that time off. I mean, working those 365 days, you're milking those cows, gets a little stressed out for these people, and yeah, it's the YCs and stuff will help that a little bit, where there's life outside the farm too, so.
I know we'll talk later in the hour with Sarah a little bit about AMPI cheese, and folks maybe say, well, geez, I don't see that logo in the stores or anything, but you know, the cheese is in all these other, it's masked under all these different logos and relationships, and if anybody's ever been to your annual meeting to see that table upon table upon table of different logos and trademarks, AMPI products are everywhere.
Yeah, they are. It's Sarah, I think, can elaborate on that a little more than I can, and she'll know more about that, but that's exactly right. Yeah, we do make a lot of cheese for a lot of different companies, and yeah, there's a lot of things to it, to the marketing. So,
Kevin Roush joining us here on CASM Radio as we come up on 10:30, and got to talk about your aspect too with the expansion and new stuff going on at AMPI, and you've seen a lot of changes here, and you kind of got to keep up and do that. But like I mentioned to Matt too, it's great to have that and look at something bright into the future for AMPI.
Yeah, we do, because it is amazing on how much milk is actually out there, and the thing is that the dairy farmers again have done such a good job of producing milk. I mean, they get a lot of milk out of those cows, and we have to continue hopefully to expand to keep room for them, so we do have a market for those people to sell their milk too. And that's our job, and that's my job, is when Matt expands the plant, my job is to find the milk to get it filled, and that's what we do. And yeah, it's an important role of it.
Seeing the milk come into AMPI and learning what happens here at the plant is really neat, really to just reiterate what goes on here at AMPI. Kevin, we appreciate your time as always, and hope things continue to go well for you. Looking good as always, and I'm sure you're staying busy here, not only at the plant, but also outside the plant as well, I assume.
Yes, sir. Yeah, with my wife and three children and some grandchildren, yeah, they really keep us busy. So, and it's a good thing. So, you bet. Thank you.
You bet. Kevin Roush joining us here on CASM Radio as we come up on 10:30. Coming up here in a second hour of our broadcast, Steve Schlung, and he'll join us. He's sharpening his pencil as we sit here right now taking notes, and he'll have a lot of information come up regarding dairy policy and also MPP, Farm Bill. Yeah, we could be here for 4 days talking about items like that. Also, coming up just after 10:45, Sarah Schmidt will join us as well. And she was also recently on that trip here just a few days ago in Wisconsin. So we'll talk about that and a whole lot more as we come up on 10:30. Brad, we'll send it back your way. We'll get a little weather forecast. We got some markets right on the money at 10:30 coming your way. We'll be back here in a few minutes continuing our June Dairy Month broadcast here at AMPI in Painesville. I'm Joel Gill. Brad, we'll take it back here in a few minutes. Joining us, Steve Schlungen, AMPI Chairman of the Board, and also my rainfall call 1.5 miles north of Farming, joining us as well today. And Steve, thanks for having us here once again with AMPI. And we've heard about the excitement, kind of the nuts and bolts here at AMPI, and it's all part of a plan, I think, to grow and grow in a very efficient manner, correct?
Yeah, Joe, and thanks, and good morning. Yeah, absolutely. We look at it as being smart growth for our co-op. It starts with increased demand and sales to our customers, and then we increase our milk production, and that leads to us needing more capacity for manufacturing. So we just expanded Sanborn. We were down there last week for our Sanborn, our board meeting for June. They're up and running full speed right now with brand new cheese vats and new technology there. And now Painesville will be next. So once Painesville is done here this fall, we'll have four plants in the co-op that are being at 3 million pound a day mark.
So a lot of milk out there. You guys going about it in a very, in a way, it's hard to believe to see all this milk. And that is a situation in the dairy environment in general. We do have a lot of product on the market today.
Yeah, well, this whole country, we produce about 20% of the milk in the world, and we're only about 5% of the population. So we're very good at producing milk. We export about 15% of what we produce in this country right now, and we believe there's a lot of room for growth in that area. And what we need to do as farmers and as co-ops is to get ourselves to a point where we're going to be competitive, producing milk, making cheese and products to compete with other parts of the world, because we've seen what's going on. The markets are affected by things that happen in China or other Ireland or New Zealand, and so it's a world market that we're dealing with, and we need to be able to compete in that market.
You talk about a world market. We've had a chance to include you on some of our panels here in the last year or two, and we discuss policy on a state and federal level, and obviously, a lot of focus on the farm bill. We saw some positivity passing out of that first initial Senate group there on a, I think it was a 20-1 vote, I think it passed out. And it kind of stumbled in the House, saw some now resurgence in the Senate here. Is there more optimism, you think, in this farm bill, especially for the dairy segment?
Well, I really think so. I'm, cautiously optimistic, but from what I understand, they're going to vote on the farm bill again either today or tomorrow in the House. And it did have a lot of support on the Senate side coming out of the committee. And there's a pretty good chance they'll vote on the Senate side of the farm bill next week. Also, the immigration bill is going to be worked on today and maybe into tomorrow. But I mean, a lot of things could happen in the next 10 days and maybe nothing will happen. It depends on how everything goes. We're very hopeful because in the farm bill on the House and Senate side, there's quite a bit of improvement for a dairy safety net. And that could really help boost up what we got this year, through the Senate, through that spending bill that allowed farmers to sign up for MPP and get some support for this year. It's much closer to what we asked for about 5 years ago, and we didn't get that. To build on that, what's in the two farm bills right now would be really beneficial, especially to the small to medium-sized farms. It would probably help 90% of the farms in the country if it goes through, but it would help the smaller to medium-sized farms probably the most. And they're the ones that really have a lot invested per cow, and that's their livelihood. That's not just their business, that's their life. And so we're hoping that we can get through what they're asking for right now, because it could be a huge improvement for dairy farmers.
Is one of the main things to have that $9 coverage mark? Is that one of the keys, do you feel, Steve?
Well, absolutely. The $9 coverage is really like what we asked for 5 years ago at $8 coverage, because of the way they tweaked the formulas and they cut that feed cost formula. But it just seemed to score this better this way, to go about it this way. So both of those, the House and the Senate, have it in there for a $9 option on the first 5 million pounds of milk per farm. And we had that this year on what we were getting, it would be an extra dollar, 100 weight on the milk, the margin right now. So it would really be helpful. It would be a solid safety net, so farmers could go to the bank and say, hey, I'd like to put in some new technology. I'd like to maybe expand a little. But at least they'd have that support there for when things go south.
AMPI Chairman of the Board, Steve Schlungen, joining us. And that kind of walks us over to MPP and talk about that program a little bit. And you look at some of the payout options or the margins that go all the way back to February. And that was a big key in this new program to have it retroactive, Steve, where folks can go back to February. We're seeing February, March, April. We should see also a May payout for $7 coverage or higher here. And I know there was a hangover from that previous program, but I think as we've seen two extensions already as far as sign up, we're seeing it kind of catch some steam. And I know now I'm getting feedback from guys who have now received checks saying, boy, I'm glad I did that.
Yeah, I think everybody that knows about it, I think about 50% of the farms in the country are now signed up for it. And it just got to be a program now where people could actually see, and they, of course, if you know you're going to get something, it's a little easier to trust the program. But without doing that, I don't know if we would have much sign up at all. So hopefully what we're going to get people really interested in being in it this year, and then hopefully we'll build on that and make it better for next year so that people will use it as an option for a safety net going forward. The other thing, there's an amendment attached to the Senate version of the Farm Bill that Senator Klobuchar introduced, and that was to refund the excess premiums from 2015 through 2017. So whatever you paid in as premiums minus what was paid out, you know, in indemnities over those years would be refunded to producers. So I think that would be nice because producers really didn't get what they thought they were getting, and kind of got misled into thinking they had better coverage than what they had. So we've asked for that for a long time. We didn't think we'd ever get anywhere on it. But Senator Klobuchar came through on this, just like they did back with the Senate version of that spending bill. They really got this $8 thing going for us this year because, I mean, it's not a huge thing for most people, but it helps. It shows that the government actually cares. And we are going through times with all these tariffs and dealing with other countries that things are totally out of our control that affect the markets just almost instantly. And I think the whole country should maybe help support the farmers through this because agriculture is the first thing that gets hit in America when we have issues with trade with other countries. We have always have a surplus of food, and other countries, their number one priority in most cases is their food supply. So it's a big deal. I think if we can get these trade agreements straightened out and fixed going forward, it's going to be better for our country for a long, long time. But in the meantime, we need a safety net so our farmers can stay in business.
When you mentioned trade and just trade partners, you know, obviously we just have to look at our own borders, I think, Steve. That's the big thing. Canada, Mexico, they play a big role and a big factor in what happens to our milk.
Well, absolutely. I mean, Mexico is our number one market for dairy out of the United States. And I just saw a letter we signed on to yesterday to the president about letting up on the embargo or the trade tariffs on steel and aluminum to Mexico, because Mexico has been a great trading partner. They're sitting down and talking things over with us. And I think in the meantime, we should let up on them a little bit because they're a great trading partner. And we need to make sure we keep that market because otherwise the European Union is moving in there with their trade agreement and they're gonna take over some of that market share. On the north end of the border, it's a little different story. We need to hold Canada accountable for their Class 7, the new schemes they developed over the last couple of years that have really, and many, I think many people think, is have pushed us back into where we are today. I think we were looking at having 18 being quite a bit better year until Canada increased their quota system and created all this extra fat so they'd have enough of their own butter, and then they'd sell off the surplus and dump it on the market and take away our customers by doing so. So we need to hold them accountable on the north end, and we need to protect what we have on the south end with Mexico.
Steve, does the European Union play a role in this? I know they were in that quota system too, and then they got rid of that. And, you know, did they increase that much to affect us too, or are they kind of down the list when it comes to concerns for us on competition or just putting more milk on the market?
Well, the parts of Europe have shrunk a little, but many parts of Europe have expanded a lot. And they're definitely a competitor out there that is a threat to our world market, our customers, because they want control over the geographical indications or the common cheese names that they, like feta and parmesan and gouda, or there's other cheese names that they think they should be the only ones that can sell those cheeses to any other countries, including Mexico. So we have to make sure that we're there to kind of fight that battle and make sure that in these trade agreements we keep that part of it out, so that everybody has these names have been around for many, many years, and people have been using them around the world for many years, and now they're trying to take them away from us.
Steve Schlungen joining us, AMPI, Chairman of the Board here at AMPI. As we celebrate June Dairy Month, I'll learn what's all exciting and new here at AMPI and talking, as Steve mentioned, some of the policy on a federal and national level here and just on a world basis, too, world market as well. So a lot to be happening in that segment with Farm Bill and a lot more going on in D.C. We have reached 10:45 already. We're going to take our final time out here from AMPI. We'll be back as Sarah Schmidt will join us here on CASM Radio, celebrating June Dairy Month at AMPI in Painesville.
Every dairy farmer knows that no 2 years are exactly...
...for Blimp, the Devin Worley Band, and headliner Hairball. Go to rockthepairie.org. CASM Radio, your dependable neighbor. 13 minutes. There we go. I can tell time. 13 minutes in front of 11. We've got partly sunny skies right now and a temp of 66 degrees. More from AMPI. Here's Joe Gill.
Thank you, Brad. Here at AMPI in Painesville, we continue our June Dairy Month broadcast here on CASM Radio. Interesting hour. Matt Quay joining us earlier this morning, division manager here in Painesville, Kevin Rausch, field supervisor here at AMPI, and Steve Schlungen just joining us. Sarah Schmidt joining us, AMPI VP of Public Affairs. And we've heard about all aspects of AMPI this morning, especially here, the exciting stuff in Painesville. And once again, it's always great to reiterate the people behind the product, the people behind the co-op and the farmers out there.
Oh, perfect, Joe. Exactly. And actually, I like to say how much I enjoy working for a co-op. I grew up on a dairy farm, so my first employer was a dairy farmer, being my dad, and now I get to work with about 2,000 dairy farmers who own AMPI. So it's been neat for me as a former farm girl to understand truly what happens to the milk once it leaves our farm. We're experts at producing milk on the farms, high-quality milk that goes on to make really good products. So at AMPI, we have this advantage right now in that we are a cheese co-op. And the upper Midwest of the United States here is the cheese basket of the country. We make really good cheese here, just given our climate and our feedstuffs and our farmers, right? And we've got the cheesemakers too. And so it's been neat to understand what we bring to the marketplace. And at AMPI, that's cheese. We know cheese and we do it very, very well.
And from a consumer standpoint, there's so much out there when it comes to cheese and variety of cheese and how to incorporate into meals and uses and such. It seems to really be reaching a height right now.
Mm-hmm. We've had a steady increase in demand over the past 40 years in cheese, and I think it's because Americans are using it in a variety of different ways, for sure. And they are exploring new varieties of cheese. And so AMPI predominantly makes cheddar cheese, which is pretty mainstream cheese, but we take it to the next level in our Blair, Wisconsin plant. We make aged cheese or an extra sharp cheddar that is very, very good. And then we also have the ability in our network to produce Colby, Monterey Jack, Colby Jack, and what we're very well known for in our Jim Falls, Wisconsin plant, which is near the Chippewa Falls area, is our Pepper Jack cheese. And so we have a full variety of Pepper Jack cheeses, and we were working on the co-op's annual report a few months ago, and I sat down with the marketing department. I said, okay, so how many different kinds of cheese does AMPI make? And I thought we had a dozen. I've been working at AMPI 8 years. I'm not ashamed to say that I was shocked when I realized we actually make 42 different varieties of cheese at AMPI. And so that's in direct result to growing customer demand. When a customer comes to us and says they want to, you know, sell a certain kind of cheese, our team gets together. They work out how we can make that possible to bring it to the marketplace. And that's really why we're seeing these expansions that Matt talked about earlier here in Painesville, why we experienced an expansion project at our Northwest Iowa plant in Sanborn, is because of customer demand. And so we had the customer demand. Dairy farmers had the milk on their farms. We as a co-op needed to move forward with an investment to manufacture that product.
Yeah, it gives them a peace of mind. It's nice to know the road ahead. You're not traveling down the road in 2 or 4 or 6 years in the blind. You have a real good understanding of the destination.
Definitely. Quite a bit of planning went into both projects, and we continue to plan and read market signals and what are today's consumers looking for. One of the things our consumers want to know is how their food is made. Well, here's the thing. I'm happy to tell you, farmers will tell you what they do anytime you have a chance to visit with them. And so we have a great story as a dairy industry. We've got good farmers. We've got good cheesemakers. And now we have consumers who want to understand more about what we do. And so what we're able to now helping to tell that story are programs like the Farmers Assuring Responsible Management Program. And then also when we're working on things like environmental responsibility. This is stuff we've been talking about for years as former dairy princess, right? We've talked about how farmers care for their cows and the land on which they live and work. And now we've got consumers who are hungry for that knowledge. And we've got a great story. And I'm happy to be part of a group who's telling it.
I'm so not sure when that bend in the road happened where consumers all of a sudden say, you know, I need to know A, B, C, and D, E, F, G, H, you know. But I'm not sure when that happened. But it's not going away either, is it?
No, definitely not. And when I think of just in my career now about 15 years, I do believe the internet, right? We have information at our fingertips and we have a platform in which people feel very comfortable sometimes to ask crazy questions and to spread misinformation alongside correct information. And that's very concerning. And so anytime I'm visiting with somebody who maybe doesn't have a farming background, I really emphasize the fact that these are things that farmers have done for years. And if you have questions, ask a farmer. They are a great resource. And even the other story that we need to, I believe more strongly as an industry, is really emphasize the nutritional benefits and the nutritional differences of dairy products in a marketplace that is changing with alternatives. Certainly the nut beverages out there most noticeably, they don't have the same nutrition as cow's milk, bar none. I mean, dietitians, doctors will tell you up, down, and backwards. Almond drink especially is quite high in sugars and not good for the environment when you think of the amount of water it takes to produce one almond nut, right? So we really probably have been pretty calm in dairy. We're a nice Midwest folk who don't like to go out there and wave the banner too hard or too long or too loudly. And this is a time in our industry where I think it's incredibly important that we're talking about the nutritional benefits and differences of dairy products.
Sarah, you've been putting on some miles too this week. Talk about, I know we hinted at it earlier in the hour too, you spent a couple days in Wisconsin, right?
That's right. So AMPI has 10 different manufacturing plants. And the fastest way for me to tell somebody about AMPI's footprint is we're in Big Ten country here. I'm a proud U of M Golden Gopher. So AMPI has 10 plants. We make about 10% of the nation's American type cheese and 10% of the nation's butter, 10, 10, 10. So in order to make our members aware of what they own as dairy farmer owners of AMPI, our summer tour for our young cooperators visits a different plant each summer. And this year we were in Blair, Wisconsin, which is just south of Eau Claire, north of La Crosse, where they make that extra sharp cheddar cheese that is very, very good to eat. We toured the plant, but we also toured area dairy farms. And there were two farms we visited this year, great farms, very different in their operation. But how perfect of an example of in dairy you can find the mode of operation that works for you. And these farms showed us, one was a larger scale dairy with freestall and a parlor who doesn't raise a single calf on their farm. In today's replacement heifer market, they found it much more affordable to buy the cows when they're ready to calve in, all the way to a 100 cow tie stall barn who focuses on genetics. And they found business platforms in their farms that work for them, and they were great to visit with. The people who are coming on this tour are all under the age of 40 and their families. And so there was a lot of kids' activities alongside the plant. We had about 100 people there, and it was just really neat to spend time with them and hear, you know, what's going on their farms, because they are representing dairymen from North and South Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. And so while their locations are different, their similarities are definitely profound. They're at the very similar stage in life, stage in ownership in their farm, for example. They can share a lot of tips and tricks, and it's just a really good event for the young dairymen to get together.
Sarah, going off what Steve said too, you keep your finger on the pulse of legislative duties, what's going on in D.C. and here in the state. We're at a very interesting time, a very critical time. I know it seems like the waves of legislation go up and down, positive, negative, yay or nay. It's hard to keep maybe abreast of everything, but it's all very critical right now, especially when it comes to a farm bill and other legislative items.
Mm-hmm. AMPI, as the co-op, has long believed there's a tremendous amount of opportunity when it comes to being involved in dairy policy. And so that is a co-op legacy and one that I'm happy to be a part of. Our board of directors is very engaged in tracking different initiatives that could impact them on the farm and impact their milk checks. So certainly with the farm bill coming up, expiring at the end of September, we're working with our congressmen in the House and the Senate to make sure the new farm bill has a program that works. I think it's widely recognized that what we had in the last farm bill did not work. There was a steep hill to climb. They were able to climb a part of the hill, in my opinion, with the Bipartisan Budget Act earlier this year. They did some great things with offering retroactivity and re-enrollment with MPP that is starting to show up in farmers' bank accounts and in payments received in the mailbox. And I think it's important people realize that these dairy farmers paid into a program for 3 years and did not get near what they were expecting in return. In fact, something to the tune of $100 million was paid in, and about $10 to $12 million was paid out. I mean, it was truly unfortunate, not a program that worked at all. And so I believe our legislators have a real opportunity here to make a program that protects our farmers in this global market. The conversations that are happening between Mexico and Canada with NAFTA, the European Union eliminating their quota, things that are going on in China. I mean, these things are beyond dairy farmers' control. And so we need a system in our country that can not necessarily guarantee you're going to make a profit every year. That's not it. But it is going to say, hey, dairy farmers, we're here. And if the rug, you know, slips out from underneath you, we're going to be here to catch you with a risk program. And so I'm encouraged with what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, whether or not anything can happen. We'll just hold our breath. But it's good conversation, good change coming forward.
And finally, for the producer listening too, I like to use value. Value is a word, and that's what you get when you're a part of a co-op such as AMPI, to have that voice, whether it's in St. Paul, whether it is in D.C. They can't be everywhere. It's an added value, and it's important.
Oh, for sure. And the team at AMPI takes it very personally. We're all very involved in making sure that the co-op can, you know, make plans today that'll impact farmers positively in the future. And, you know, we've seen in the dairy industry right now a decline in fluid milk consumption. And it has caused some of our fluid milk bottlers, who are private companies, to drop dairy farmers. That is something that doesn't happen at a co-op. You, the dairy farmer, owns the co-op. You will not be dropped. And so I really am proud to talk about that message anytime I have the opportunity. It's a value of co-op membership, and that's why co-ops were formed years ago, and it's why they are solid today, and especially in the dairy industry, but in other co-ops throughout the country.
Saluting dairy farmers, not only here in June, but all year long here on CASM Radio, broadcasting from AMPI. Matt Quaid joining us earlier, Kevin Rausch, Steve Schlungen, Sarah Schmidt. Sarah, we appreciate the invite. It's been a fun morning, a fast-moving hour, but great to work with you and great to see the things going on here in Painesville.
Oh, thanks, Joe, and thanks for all you do. We really enjoy this conversation.
Now I can go have cheese, officially. I can go have cheese. It's 11 o'clock. Brad Milkey, we're done here at AMPI. We're going to send it back your way. We got some news and more coming up for ASM Radio and AMPI in Painesville. I'm Joe Gill.